So the poets can discuss the challenges posed by a perforated eardrum for Tevila. Just to read you a couple lines from entnet.org, what a perforated eardrum is a hole or rupture in the eardrum. The middle ear is connected to the nose by tubing, which equalizes pressure in the middle ear. A perforated eardrum is often accompanied by decreased hearing and sometimes liquid discharge, maybe accompanied by pain enough to take notice of this. If it's caused by an injury, it becomes affected. And how Nogelin Yanenu, writer in this article, is that most eardrum holes resulting from injury or an acute ear infection heal on their own within weeks of opening, although some may take several months to heal. During the healing process, the ear must be protected from water and trauma. So that's the line that's relevant to us, that there is a medical concern that someone with a perforated eardrum should not allow any water into the ear, which obviously poses a problem for Tevila. So this is what Rav Moshe focuses on in Chelek Aleph, beginning in Siman Sadi Ches, and there were follow-up tshuvas going through Kuf Gimel, so that whole chain of tshuvas from Sadi Ches to Kuf Gimel is Rav Moshe's initial presentation, and this is one of his articulations of his Chiddush and Beis HaSarim that we already spoke about a little bit before, and then follow-up responses to those that took issue with his psak, including the later tshuvas, his uncle, Yaakov Kantrovitz, who was the Rav in Trenton. The tshuva is an early tshuva from Luban 1934, beginning Yutes Iyar and then the subsequent months. And the way the question is presented, so this kind of a medical situation where the doctors say no water can come in contact with the ear. So can a woman take a piece of material, a piece of cotton, a piece of cloth, and dip it in Vaseline? Apparently Vaseline has been around since the 1870s, and they must have even made it to Luban. So if you insert this moch and you line it with Vaseline, so then it'll be tight enough to prevent water from getting into the eardrum. That was the shaila. So Moshe says the way the shaul presented the shaila, the shaul assumed that obviously it's a chatzitza, because even though it's niyot, it's makbin, no one would want a moch in their ear. So it's a chitzitzi derabanan. Can we be megal to allow a chitzitzi derabanan b'makom igun? Because otherwise, this woman will never be able to go to the mikvah. It sounds like it's some kind of a long-lasting situation, not the thing that we were just describing that'll heal even within a couple months. The way the shaul presented it, it sounds like this would be a long-term scenario that's not going to heal, and the woman wouldn't have an opportunity, even if she waited, to be toveles normally. So Moshe says your assumption is wrong, and he thinks that it's not even a chatzitza de rabbana. And this is where Moshe articulates his chiddush when it comes to Beis HaSarim, that in general there are two types of chatzitza, Moshe says, when it comes to a chatzitza al gufa. So you could either have a chatzitza which is an external object that is adhering to the body, and that prevents bias mayim because you have something external to the body that's on the body preventing water from getting underneath it. That's model chatzitza number one. And then there's also another type of chatzitza where it's not something that be'etzem is attached to the body. It's just something incidental that is preventing bias mayim. Let's say someone else is holding on to you. So someone's holding on to the toveles. So at the point of contact where this person's hand is touching the body of the toveles, water's not going to get underneath. But that's not a chatzitza be'etzem. That's not a chatzitza that adheres to the body. That's something more incidental that is just preventing bias mayim. So when it comes to regular tefillah begufa, where you require actual bias mayim, so both of those chatzitzas are equally problematic. However, his chiddush is that when it comes to a chatzitza b'beis hasarim, then there's a distinction between those two types of chatzitzos. Only a chatzitza that is mamish davuk is a chatzitza of the beis hastarim. But the second type of chatzitza, like the person's hands touching the toveles, that would not be a chatzitza of the beis hastarim. That's how he understands kartza sifso seha. That when you're closing your mouth in a normal fashion, like he points out, we assume la lachalei the second pshat in the Rash, but the Rash himself presents as the only pshat in the Mishnah Perek Yud, that the only problem with karas sifso seha if you do it in an extreme fashion, but if you hold the mouth closed in a normal fashion, that's not a problem. That's not right to be a smayim, no water can get in. So that, he says, is mode two of chatzitza, which when it comes to beis hastarim is not a problem. That's equivalent to someone else holding on to your body, but no external chatzitza. It's not an external chatzitza that is davuk. So therefore, hanogei l'inyanenu, he says, that if you put in a piece of cloth, the moch, into the ear, that's chatzitza type two. That's similar to Ocheth Ba'adam. That's similar to Kartza Sivso Seha, because the moch isn't davuk ba'ozen. It's just placed there in a gentle fashion. Even if it's mehudak, it's not fundamentally mehudak, it's only incidentally mehudak. It's eino davuk rak nachmas shemunach b'salcha ozen. It's not that there's anything that's making it stick to the ear. It's just if you put it in the ear holds it in. Because it's not going to fall out because the way the ear is constructed. But fundamentally, that's not considered davuk. And that's not a chisaron in ra'i l'bias mayim when it comes to beis ha'sisaron. And therefore, Ramosha concludes in the last paragraph of Tzadi Ches, Zeu anachal niyastayti binyan zeh, yesh lahoros ahatir lemaisa b'makom igun, meaning where there's no other way of allowing the woman to go to the mikvah if we don't follow this etzah. Shehar b'yakilu chachamim l'takanasam shem efshel amoch below vaseline tasim moch yavesh ba'ozna ba'omiksas shavim esastarim. If you could put it in without the Vaseline, that would be even better. After all, that's a Mishnah of Pereshitz and Shabbos, that a moch sheba ozen is not a problem of hotzah. And as we saw, there's a parallel between what constitutes hotzah and what constitutes a chatzitza. The fact that the Mishnah of Shabbos indicates that a moch ba ozen isn't the problem of hotzah should indicate that there's at least eight seer of a moch sheba ozen, which is not a chatzitza. So Moshe assumes that the baseline seer of moch ba ozen would be a moch yavesh. So that's almost a mishnah b'fereshes that doesn't constitute a chatzitza. Even if you need to put in a Vaseline, then he thinks that's still okay because fundamentally, that doesn't make it into something that is davak into the ear. If Yerushalmi, a moch tavel b'shemen is mutter on Shabbos, so he says, at least according to the Shalmi, a beraya, that moch tavel vaseline would be the same, even though the posts don't quote the Yerushalmi, but there's no indication that they're cholik in the Yerushalmi. So as long as you remove any other guk or a wax from the ear that could constitute a chatzitza, putting in a moch in and of itself would not fundamentally be a chatzitza. Obviously, we don't recommend it l'chachila, but in a situation where there's no other breira, Ramosha thinks it's not even a chatzitza derabbanan, and therefore b'makom igun would be mutter. Usher.
I'm not sure for me.
In
the case of the Gemara, the bone in her teeth,
right?
Is that not similar? And that was a problem in the Gemara.
So it could be. Rav Moshe doesn't address that, as far as I could tell, in the tshuva, but it could be that that is more davar, because that's not moving anywhere. That is stuck. And maybe that's better than the Moshe, or worse than the Moshe Rosen.
Isn't it only stuck because of the space between the teeth, which is parallel to all of the ear?
Even after putting bows in the union, so it stays stuck.
Right, I hear. No pun intended. Yeah, I don't recall Moshe addressing that. I have to look again. I read through the first tshuva again today before. I skimmed the others. I didn't read them carefully this time. Yes, I don't remember if Moshe addresses it in the later tshuva, so I guess we'll take a look and see. Okay. Yeah.
Can we also flesh out what it means to be double, like the exam? Like, what does it mean to be fundamentally double?
Is if you put a if something is attached through some form of glue or adhesive or cement or plaster, in a way that barring any pulling off or external intervention is going to remain stuck there. That's where Moshe says is davak. But if it's just like your normal default position, or someone's touching you or holding you, or your mouth is closed, so that's form two, which is not a chatzitza of the basis star.
So that's why these two, that's why this other question is difficult. It seems to be the opposite. Like the Vaseline seems more like glue, and bone or teeth seems to not have that at all.
No, Vaseline is not like glue, because he's saying even the Vaseline is not, it's not really stuck there. But we're asking about the bone and the teeth, that the bone and the teeth is more than, maybe also isn't stuck there because it's just not coming out because of the way the teeth are formed. And then that's where the question is coming from.
I think it's not where Moshe.
I'm sorry?
I think it's not where Moshe comments.
Yeah, okay. It's good you have the Bar-Ilan.
Yeah.
In
Etzav Abosav, Shabina Shemayim.
In which of them?
It's in Tzadikas.
It's in Tzadikas? Yeah.
In Etzav Abosav, Shabina Shemayim, Hadot Mitbokim Sham, Nakna Shem, Subok, Mimokim Dabok, Zer, Shabina Shemayim, Shabukim Zer, Lazer. Hadot Moshe, the Ozen, Vada, Eno, Kudelva, Barak, Munach, and the Fas, Sever, Han. What kind of
study? What paragraph
is that? It starts with beginning Moshe ba'ozna nami book, and then chatzitza.
Ah, v'nei Moshe ba'ozna nami hu mimin chatzitza sheni. Okay, good. Okay, shkach. Rabbi Morgenstern quotes on page Shinpei Hei from Rav Yashiv. Rav Yashiv thought putting cotton balls in the ear would constitute a chatzitza. There's an Avnei Nezer, Yeridea Simon Rei Samach Beis, who discusses this issue of putting cotton in the ear. And the suggestion was that maybe if you leave the cotton there for 7 days, so just like that's considered to be a kasher shel kayama in Hilchos Shabbos, at least midrabanan. So maybe here too, we would consider that to be permanent enough to not constitute a chatzitza, which was a psak of the Chelkas Yoav, Chelik Aleph Yoredeya Timin Lamin. And Rav Neubert quotes as much. Rav Neubert has a kuntris on Hilchas Chatzitza called Ohel Sara, in the same format as Shmir Shabbos L'Chaz. It's all of about 20, less than 30 pages. Yes, his kuntris Ohel Sara and Hilchas Chatzitza, Zanos or Chachma. So he quotes from Shlomo Zalman in Perek Hey, Ha'ari Yud Gimel. Rav Shlomo Zalman said this is a possibility. If you put a cotton in the ear and leave it there for 7 days, and he quotes Rav Shlomo Zalman, it doesn't have to be 7 days before the tefillah. It could be as long as you have in mind to leave it there for 7 days even after the tefillah. But maybe that makes it considered to be somewhat permanent. There's no dust or move it during that time. And maybe that wouldn't constitute a chatzitza. I mean, Nezer doesn't like that.
Would it be leave it in?
No, if you do leave it in.
So you not just have it in mind, you have to possibly leave it.
Yeah, well, yeah, you have to leave it in for 7 days. Avnei Nezer doesn't like that. Yeah, Avnei Nezer says a different etzah, that if you stick a finger in and block water coming in with the finger, maybe that would work. That's based on the din in Sif Kavches, based on the Mishnah Mikvos of Mayim Makdimin. Mechaber writes in Sif Kavches, Lo tochos ba chaverta biyadeha b'shas tefila, that if a woman needs assistance going to the mikvah, you can't have a friend hold you, because at the point of contact where she's holding you, that'll be a chatzitza. Ellen Kane, unless she's holding it loosely enough that the water can go under her hands. But if she rinses her hands, the ochezes rinses her hands b'mayim first, not everyone agrees, then shari, that if she rinses her hand in mei mikvah, that that doesn't constitute a chatzitza, because that's considered as if the toveles is being held by mei mikvah. So maybe that could be an etzah here as well. If you stick a finger into the ear, Rabbi Morgenstern points that it has to be someone else's finger, because if it's your own finger, then we're worried that you're going to make kmatim or folds in your finger, however you're holding your finger. If you have someone else stick their finger in your ear, go into the mikvah, and then you can rely on Mayim Makdimin. The other person will dip her finger in the mikvah, stick the finger in the Tevelis' ear, and then the Tevelis will go into the mikvah. Usher looks skeptical about the practicality of that.
I thought she doesn't want water in her ear. We're assuming there's not enough water.
We're assuming that you're going to prevent problematic, meaning if you're just, you're sticking water on your finger, but that's not significant enough water to pose a problem if you then stick that in the ear, and then it's going to prevent more water coming in. I think that's the thinking, not talking about the medical aspect here, but if that would work medically, then that's a suggestion that the Avnei Nezer has. Again, as long as it's someone else's finger, which Episcopal Chua talks about in a related context as well, in Sif Katan Tes Vav. Okay, so again, so far we have Rav Moshe's tshuva that it's not a problem because of his chiddush in Hilchos Chatzitza Beis Hasarim to put a moch ba'ozen b'chlal. You can put cotton in better without Vaseline, even with Vaseline if necessary. That wouldn't be a problem. You have what's quoted from Avi Yashiv that no, that's not going to work. Cotton would be a chatzitza. You have this suggestion of the Chelkas Yoav, and Rosh Hashanah apparently accepted it as a possibility of sticking in cotton to make sure it'll be there for 7 days. Then you have the suggestion that the Avnei Nezer does like of using Mayim HaKdimim and having someone else's finger stuck in the Tavelis' ear. Says the Sipa Safrank, yeah. He doesn't address it. Rabbi Morgenthau just points out, Rabbi Neuber points out that practically it would need to be someone else's finger because otherwise you run into other problems. Says Rabbi Pesach Frank, Chuvas Har Tzvi, Yaredeya, Simen, Kuf, Ayin. Same Shiloh. Vivade Sheila Gedolahi, the Ishadavar Daber Harbe, is that? He says, "Kafisha near and mitoch mechtavo." We're going to put this moch into the ear, far enough in that it won't be visible from outside. So that's like super beis hastarim. And he says, to get used to it, you should do it for some time before the tefillah. So that'll indicate that you're not makbid, meaning you're not just putting it in the shas tefillah, because then that's more of a makbid concern. If you're going to train yourself to keep it in your ear for long periods of time, maybe that'll make it less makbid. Even though you're going to have to remove it and replace it, but as long as you immediately replace it with another one, then he doesn't think that's a problem of makbid. And he quotes that from Meir Arik, Imre Yosher, Chelid Bey, Simon Kufayin Gimel, that such a notion that if you have something that's going to be removed and replaced, but you're going to replace it immediately with the same type of a thing, that doesn't make it into makbid, because fundamentally, it's always going to be in the ear in this context or in the body, whatever the context is. Rav Chima Choshtor and Shari Tfila has another suggestion that rather than use Vaseline, better to use fish oil. What's the mila of fish oil? Either fish oil alone or if necessary, fish oil on cotton. What's the mile of fish oil? So that's the Mishnah Mikvos. Perek Vav Mishnah Zayin. Kol Shehum Nibirias Hamayim Tahor. That anything that is created from the sea has a din of Mayim. So if you have something that is fish oil derived, maybe that itself has a din of mayim, zvachim kafbeis. The Rabbi Morgenstern points out that his medical understanding was, or the information that he got, that that's not going to help because fish oil also has water as a base. So then your vitre are putting water in the ear. I discussed this with our local ENT, Dr. Pesach Lederreich, who thought medically that wasn't the case, that if you were to put fish oil in the ear, that would not be a problem for a perforated eardrum. It's not considered to be water and not medically dangerous. Rabbi Morgenstern then says the best eitzah is to put antibiotic drops into the ear before tefillah, and that would prevent any negative effect from water. And Dr. Lederach told me that he didn't think that was a good idea, that that wouldn't necessarily help. So bottom line, this is not a very common medical situation, although not unheard of, but there are various suggestions made, as we saw, which one obviously should consult with the proper medical professionals first to know what is medically possible and then figure out which eitzah could potentially be halachically possible. Yeah.
Sorry, just go back to the book for a second.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, is it confident it's based on star, or is it possible it's not?
Yeah, everyone assumes that here is based on star. Mm-hmm. Okay. So let's move on and talk about scabs, which is really moving backwards because that was one of the maimras that we already saw, where we have the machlokas as whether less hilchasaka help sol hanishmais or not. And we saw that the machaber in Se'if Zayin Chesdes Paskin that yeah hilchasaka kachol hanishmaisa, which is why he has a din of liflif shabayin and kachol shabayin and rivda de kusilta here in Shulchan Aruch without a holding. So we are noted that Rashi understood rivda de kusilta as being a scab that develops from bloodletting, and then the Gemara distinguished between toch gimel and la'acher gimel. And Rashi explained that toch gimel, the scab is still soft, it's mechuber and rach, and therefore not chotzeitz. And when it hardens, then it will be chotzeitz after 3 days. The Rishonim are bothered, how does this distinction between toch gimel and la'acher gimel and rach versus yavesh fit with the Mishnayos in Perek Tes of Mikvos, where the Mishnah tells us, Perek Tes Mishnah Beis, that a glad shechutz l'makah, a scab which is external to the makah, is chotzeitz, and the Mishnah Dalid tells you that a glad she'al makah, that a scab that is on the makah, is not chotzeitz. So there you have a distinction between chutz l'makah and al makah. And our Gemara distinguished between toch gimel and la'acher gimel, so no distinction between chutz and al. So Rishonim are bothered, how does our Gemara fit with the Mishnayos in Mikvos? Says Ramban, daf samach zayin amud aleph. Glad she'ala maka nami mishum hai taimahu. So the distinction that we have in our Gemara between rach and yavesh is really what's behind the distinction in the Mishnayos between chutz l'maka and ala maka. Glad she'ala maka nami mishum hai taimahu. Delo avit inish liklof glad makaso. A person is not going to peel off a scab. Mishum the kasha lamaka, because that's not good for the maka to peel off the scab. Ad diyavish umaklif minafshay. Until it's dry enough that it's going to begin to peel off on its own. A person is not going to proactively peel off a scab that's still healing. You're going to wait until it's at the point that, that it may peel off on its own, and only then would you touch it. The kasavar, the hudafka shel maka, aval rivda de kusilta, Atalasa Yomin, the Lokav in Inishallah, Lochaitza, Mikan Vela Chaitza, Inami Atalasa Yomin Lacha Veloma Akva, Maya, Mikan Vela Chaitza, the Yavesha, the Kapid Allah. So the Rabban says like this, that when it comes to the Mishnayos, the Mikvah, it's the difference between Chutzal Maka and Alamaka, is the difference between where it's not healed yet, you're not going to normally remove it, there'll be tzar in removing it, but that's considered to be Eino Makbid, because you're not in normal circumstances going to remove a scab that's still healing. So that's considered Eino Makbid and therefore not Choseitz. That's what the Mishnah means by Lach Al Hamaka, as opposed to a glad Shechutz Hamaka, a glad that is external to the Maka, meaning the scab that's already has no active wound under it, that's already in the already falling off on its own. So there's no tsar, there's nothing preventing you from removing it. So there, that's considered makbid, and that's going to be chotzes. So that's the distinction between glad shechutz hamaka and glad shealamaka. When it comes to our gemara here in Nida, the difference between dam hakaza toch gimel and laacher gimel. So then toch gimel, you're not makbid. That either lo kavid inishalei lo chayt mikavei lo chayt. So inami atalasa yomin lacha veloma akva maya. Or at that point, within 3 days, it's moist. It doesn't prevent water from coming in. As opposed to when it hardens up, then it does prevent water from coming in. So we're talking about, according to the Rabban, two different types of a glad. In the Mishnayos and Mikvaros, we're talking about scab over a wound. And then the distinction of record is whether there's any tsar involved or anything preventing you from removing it, which would make it Eino Makbid or not Chotzeitz. After the point where it's already healed enough that it's falling off on its own, then that is considered Makbid would be Chotzeitz. And here we're talking about specifically Rivda de Kusilta, which is a different kind of a Mitzias, where whatever covering or presentation we're talking about changes its consistency between within 3 days and after 3 days, such that within 3 days, it's not a chatzitza. So then our Gemara is not talking about a standard kind of a scab. Now, to note, the Rush in the end of Siman Kaf Hei, Hilchos Mikvos, says as follows. Glid Shechutz Lamaka, Rear Hayotze Minamaka Umisyabesh Vinasa Glid. So the Mishnah that talks about a glid Shechutz Lamaka, which is Chotzeitz, that's talking about a scab that forms over a maka. The Hainu Dami Rami Barchama, Hi, rived the kusilta at lasayome lo chaitzi mikan ve'elach chaitzi. He who chutz lamaka v'nikra shvinasa av. So the Rav says, yeah, rived the kusilta is not fundamentally different than the glid that we're talking about in the Mishnayos in Mikvos. Putting the two together, what emerges is that if you have a scab up to 3 days, so then it hasn't formed yet in such a way that it would form a chatzitza. And when the Mishnah in Mikvos is talking about a glad, shechutz l'maka, that's kotzei, that's only a glad after 3 days where the scab forms and dries, and now it's a chatzitza. So the difference between within 3 days and after 3 days, the Rivda de Kusilta, is within the Glad Shechutz Lamaka of Mikvos Parakes. And what's Mikvos Parakes Mishadalid? So the Rav says, well, Masheb is so Hamaka. So Al Hamaka for the Rush doesn't mean on top of the maka, covering the maka. It means something that's in the maka. Masha besocha maka hu rach tamid. That which is in the wound itself, that's always going to be soft, and that's never going to be chotzeis. If you look in the Tosas Arash over here, Hani Rivdi the Kusilta, Atla Sayomim Lo Chaitzi Mikan Ve'el Chaitzi, Hainu, Yad Tanan Paratas Mikvos, Glid Shachutz Lamaka Chotzeitz, Glid Sheba Maka Eno Chotzeitz. He also Shachutz Lamaka Nikra Shvinasa Av, so that which forms above the Maka hardens, becomes thick, and is therefore a chatzitza. Aval sha'al tochamaka. He says both. Al tochamaka, which is what he says in the psalm tochamaka, but the Mishnah says al. So it sounds like he read al toch. He says both of them together. Aval sha'al tochamaka nasa rach tadir. That which is in the maka, that's always going to be soft, and therefore not chotzeis. Okay. And then just to note further, the Rambam, yeah.
Just to summarize, it's like Maka should include starting out. Look, as the Kusamaka, there they're difficult between within 3 days and after 3 days. When it's Besocha Maka, even beyond 3 days, it's still going
to be. For the Rush, right. Besocha Maka, which he understands to be Alamaka, well, sorry, Alamaka, which he understands to be Besocha Maka, which is inside the Maka itself, not the scab. So, to the extent that anything forms inside the Maka, that's always going to be Lach, and therefore is never going to be Chotzeis. That itself won't pose a problem for B.S. Maya. Again, for the Ramban, it sounds like Rivda de Kusilta is a different cheshbin, a different sugya than Glad Sha'alamaka, Glad Sha'chutzamaka. Glad Sha'alamaka, Glad Sha'chutzamaka is the distinction between are you makbid because it's still healing or is it now ready to basically fall apart on its own? And Rivda de Kusilta is a different cheshbin, different mitzias, which is just a function of rach versus yavesh. And according to the Rush, it's all connected that within glad shechutz l'maka, which is chotzeitz, there's a difference between the first 3 days and the last 3 days, that it's only after the first three, it's between the first 3 days and afterwards, it's only after the first 3 days that you have that mitzias of a glad shechutz l'maka, which is now hardened and chotzeitz. And glad she'alamaka, which the Rush understands, glad she'tochamaka, that's always going to be lach, and that is never going to be Chosis. Okay. The Rambam, who is of the opinion that the less Hilchasa Kachol Hanishmaisa, the Rambam just paskins that glitch out Hamak is Chosis, and there's no distinction between Tof Gimel and Lacher Gimel because that's not Lalacha. And this also gives the local Hilchasa according to the Rambam. There's no basis of distinguishing Lalacha between Tof Gimel and La'achar Gimel. Okay. Now in the Rashba, in the Ramban, sorry, and the Rashba is like the Ramban. In the Ramban, it sounds like in his analysis of the Mishnah in Mikvos, that if you're not removing something because there's tsar involved in removing it. If you have this glitch alamaka and it hasn't healed yet in such a way that it would be painful to peel off the scab, so even if the only reason you're not removing it is because of the tsar, that's considered to be eino makbid. Lashon is delo avid inish lekale for leklof glad makaso mishum dekasha lamaka. That a person is not going to peel off the scab because that is kasha to the wound until it dries off and peels off on its own. So that makes it a nomaka. The fact that you're interfering with the healing process by peeling it off, slash that there's tsar potentially involved in peeling it off, that would be enough of a reason to make it a nomaka. And therefore, not chosis, because we'll be talking about a niyut she'eino makbid. And that's what the Ri, that's what the Mordechai quotes in the Ri in Simen Tav Shin Mem Ches, basically quotes it here, that me'ikar adin, such a scab, is not chosis. However, what the Tshuva Sari says is, even though that's true on a Me'ikar Adin level, nevertheless, the minhag is to remove it or to wait until it heals. Mordechai Simen Tav Shin Mem Ches, quoting a Tshuva Sari. The Taz in Sifkatan Yud Dalid, Havi Marshal Haga Achas Vizal. The Grav Lagabi Tfila, Tricha Lahasir, Afa Pisha Karv Laharbe, that even if it's very painful, you have to remove a scab. The Ishtal Shel Marach or Zarua, Haitha Tricha Lama Lefan of Aruma, Shahaya Roa, Shelo Haya Grav Aleha, Shalohaya Maminla, Shahisa Masira, Shahisa Nara, Lahaya Koevla, Bechain Asa Sarmi Kotzi, Leishta. So there's a representation here that the Marachor Zerua and the Sarmi Kotzi were both very makbid on scabs to make sure that no scab was present, Bishas Tevila. The lashon of the smack that the Beis Yosef quotes, which is half of the reference here, the sarmi kutsi, lashon of the smack is hirgilu hanashim lahasir me alehen kol grav v'kol shtin afal pi shemin adin lo hayatzarech. So the woman had the practice of removing any scab, even though it wasn't necessary, midina. That presentation is that it's a chumra v'alma, not necessary mikra din. Sefer Truma, Simen Kuf Gimel, Afilu mitzdayer im yasir aglam mealamaka o abubuos o shkin. The ata loya daito lahasir, the kari eno makdin. So even if it's something that there's no reasonable assumption, there's no reason that someone would remove it at that point. So technically speaking, it's eno makdin. Mikol makom regilus hu lahasir akol o yamtin achi rape yuchal lahasir bakal. So says the Sefer Truma. So again, sounds like not necessarily Yikra Din. This was a Chumra Ba'alma. And that's what the Sidre Tara says as well, Sukkot and Kaf Gimel, paragraph beginning the two Kasha. But Sidre Tara points out, this quotation that the Taz has from the Sar Mikutzi and this extreme presentation, or the dramatic description, sounds like he thought that it was Mikra Din, the fact that he didn't rely on his wife and he insisted on independently inspecting that there's no scab. Sounds like he assumed that this was necessary Mikra Din. And even if there would be tzar in removing it, it still would be a chatzitza, because after all, there's no distinction in the Mishnah between mitzdaris or not. That was the Ramban's distinction, the Rashba's distinction. Doesn't appear in the Mishnah. So the Sidri Tara says, it sounded like the Sar Mikotzi thought that even Sar isn't enough to make it Eino Makbid. And that's what Rabbi Kiv Eger points out as well. Shuva Kama Simon Samach, paragraph beginning the Zah. That according to the Smag, he says, not the Smag. According to the Smag, it's necessary Me'ikar Adin. Says the Bach in Sifkat on Yud. Quoting this position of the Sar Mikotzi, Afilim Yistarim Yasir Aglad Mi Algabi Amako Abubos Shkin Chain Daita Lahasir Ata Vikari Enamaki Kamakam Regilus Ulasir Kol. That's what we just saw in the Sefer Truma. He says, oh, I'm sorry. I was looking at the base sales section. No wonder. Here, okay. The Ishto Shamarik No, I'm sorry. So let's forget that for now. Sorry. I thought the Baf said something, but I'm not sure if he says it the way I thought he said it. Okay. So again, in the presentation of the Sefer Truma and the Smak, it sounds like to the extent that there were those that had the practice of removing scabs, even B'Malkam Sar, that was only Lech Chomer Ba'alma, as opposed to the way the Siddur Itara understood the Sarmi Kotzi, who thought that it was necessary Mikra Din, because he didn't subscribe to Mitzdar being a reason to make it Eino Makir. If that's the case, if you were to have such a position, L'chumra, when it comes to Tsar, why is that fundamentally different than Sakana? If we accept the Mordechai, when it comes to Sakana, that Sakana makes something Eino Makbid, so why wouldn't Sar make something Eino Makbid as well? Says Reb Kiveger, in that tshuva, Simon Samich, Dibur Maskil, Vizeh, that when it comes to Sar, then there are ways out of Sar. If you have a scab, and it's painful to remove the scab, but you could very gradually, over time, remove it bit by bit, and even if there'll be a little bit of Tsar, you can kind of mitigate the extent of the pain and strategically remove the glot. The Mereshes Moshe says a little bit differently in Siman Kuf Yutes, that when it comes to Tsar, Tsar is often relative. Some people experience Tsar to a greater degree than others, and there's some subjectivity about Tsar. So it's harder to quantify what constitutes Tsar, as opposed to Sakana, where Sakana there are more objective standards, and we could say more absolute terms, that to remove something would constitute a Sakana by everyone's account, and therefore it's considered Eino Makbid.
Yeah. But what about the aspect, right, the scabs that it hurts the healing process? Because that part, is we said, was more directly aligned with the Mordechai Sakana aspect. And it's not with one thing, but also removing it if it hurts the healing process is some form of sakana.
Right. So the other Rishonim aren't talking in those terms. But the Ramban had the line in the Ramban that Mishum de Kasha Lamaka, that could be read as harming the healing process. It could be read as emphasizing more the tsar than the healing, but the other Rishonim have no such notion. The other Rishonim and those that present the minog or the nahug of being more mafker on removing scabs don't have that presentation of the maka healing as being relevant.
Just as a tangential question, what's shat in the Marach or Zeruah and Sarnit Kotzi in terms of the Tokes on the Kians, but checking their wives.
So some explain that it was after she came out of the mikvah to make sure right afterwards that there was no chatzitza. He didn't inspect before, but right afterwards he inspected to make sure that there was no chatzitza, and if there would have been, he would have told him to go to the mikvah again. Okay. The Sidrei Tara in Sifkata and Kavav, on this point is whether Mitzdayer is considered a factor in making something into Eino Makbid. So the Sidrei Tara writes, The problem is the din of chetz, which we'll get to. We touched on a little bit that if you have a arrow in the body, that constitutes a chatzitza, even though there's sar in removing it. So he notes that the Mordechai distinguishes between something which is external to the body and something which is part of the body. So a scab forms on the body, but that's not an external element. It's part of the body. Forms on a wound, but it's part of the body, as opposed to a chetz, which is external. So an external davar chotzeitz, there may be different standards even b'makom sar. So the Siddur Torah says that when you have something like a scab, so then it's easier to argue that that's batel to the guf. If you have an arrow, so it's harder to say that that's batel to the body, even if there's sar in removing it. So as long as it's not sakana, if it's just sar, if it's external to the body, that may not be enough to make it eino makbid. That could be relevant to bandages as well, which we will get to hopefully shortly. If you look back on our daf here, in the Tosa Rush that we started reading before, on Samach Zayin Amud Aleph, in the next line, after he distinguishes between Chutzamaka and Al Slash Tochamaka, the Tosa Rush writes, Lekach Isha Shi Balas Chatotin Yesh La Lachov Ad Sheyiz Rakachu. A woman that has some kind of skin condition and has these chatatin on her body, she should be chofefes until they soften. What's chofefes? Chatatin. What's chatatin? Literally some kind of like eczema or some kind of skin condition of something that adheres to the skin. I don't have a translation of chatatin.
Modern Hebrews have that here in pimples.
Okay.
I don't know if that would explain it.
I'm sorry?
I don't know if that would explain it.
Anyone else?
Blackhead.
I'm sorry?
Blackhead.
Blackhead?
I don't know.
Oh, the blackheads. Those are a thing. Since I'm feeling. I don't know if that's what's getting at.
Now it's good enough. It's some kind of skin condition that maybe something like eczema, some kind of skin condition that something forms on the skin that could at some point peel off or fall off. So the Rush said that this is in Rush Tim Kavav Mikvos, and this line on Tosei Rush. So does chofe lashet chafifa? Does that mean to soak it? Does that mean to scrub it? So engage in some form of chafifa until it softens. Okay. It doesn't say that you have to remove it. Rabbi Chofef, until it softens, and then you can go to the mikvah in that state. The Bali Shulchan writes in Sefkatan Ayin Ches. So this is on the din of Galat. And the Mechaber distinguishes between within 3 days and after 3 days. After 3 days, if it's the Yavish of the Chatzitza, it says about the Shulchan Ayin Ches, V'tzvicha lahasir Yovish Arir Me'al Gufa, you have to either remove the scab once it's dry, or the Rachach of Amayim, or to soften it. Like the Mechaber says by Chatatim. So the Mechaber quotes this Rosh, the next line in Shulchan Aruch here, Lefikach isha b'ilas chatatim tzricha lachuf b'mayim ad sheyisrachachu. The Baal Shulchan here says that could be relevant for scab also, that you can soak the scab ad sheyisrachachu. V'yesh shekasvu Sheima Saras are weir co evasam is the eres sibakach, Khashiv Gaina Makbidalav, Vena Khotseth Medina, Alpha Pishalamaisa Hurglu and Ashim La Siro Afakia Gavna, Neshitsara Sara Eno Shavukal Adam, the Ye Sheima Pidam or Gisha Mitsar, I call the Mashu Adam. Davizet Sarah Umed Yafe, and Satatara call Echabiada, Lakach Nogul Hakmir Bithatomin. So what was behind this Minog? That some of the Rishonim had that we just saw, the smack, Sefer Truma, that you would remove everything. Because otherwise, if you're going to define everything based on Tsar, the different people have different Tsar thresholds. The Yeshanir Midiraim Shafila Mistar Basaraso, Khashiv Kamakbidullah, the Chotzeis Medina. That's what we saw the Siddur Tara understood in the Tsar Mikotzi. So, what do we do, Lamaisa? The nearest sheyesh lahakol b'zeh im koyv laharbe lasira v'gam einam misrachachas b'mayim. That all things being equal, better to be machmir to remove the scab. But if it's going to be painful, so then you could be makel to leave it. If it's not going to be softened, b'mayim. So three levels. If possible to remove, remove it. If Rikuch will do something, then do Rikuch. And if all else fails, if there's Sarin removing it and there's nothing else to do about it, let it be. That's what the Mishnah Berurah says in Hilchos Netilas Yadayim, Siman Kuf Samach Aleph Sefkatan Pes Zayin. That if something is not going to come off the Tsar, fundamentally, it doesn't constitute a Chatzitza. So Rabbi Morgan's request from Avil Yashiv that if you can't remove a scab, if it's too painful, then try to do Rikuch. Then, soak it, soften it. Meaning, if you soften it to the extent that you soften it, if it doesn't come off, then you leave it. Rav Osner has, in Shiri Shevet Alevi, that if someone has eczema, so if it comes off easily enough, if you can get it off, you get it off. If it's impossible, then you leave it. Or as Rav Yashiv says, then soak it. And that's what Rabbi Willick says also, that if something doesn't easily come off, or it'll be painful to remove, then you do rikach, you soak it. It doesn't come off easily, then we consider fundamentally that's considered eino makpid. And Rabbi Willig would say, if there's any doubt, if it's not going to come off easily, then you don't want to further injure yourself by playing with a scab over an active wound. So fundamentally, we assume not like the Sarmi Kotzi, that to remove a scab where there's sar involved is only l'chumra. So if there is sar, then definitely if it's not healed, if there's any danger, any sar, then you soften it to the extent that you can. If it still doesn't come off, then you leave it. Okay, looks like we're out of time. So I was hoping to get to bandages and casts today. So Mirz Hashem will do that Wednesday and then move on. I shared with you the next sheet of Marmakoma, so we should just finish up with Riti at the beginning of next year and then move on to the next sheet of Marmakomas.